Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
And welcome to our Sunday service out here at Grace Ranch in West Texas. You guys ready to join together and worship and praise the Lord? Amen. Let's get to it then.
Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Jesus Christ, His Son.
Give thanks.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
Give the Lord a cheer. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, Father, coming before you and joining together in worship and receiving at your table is a choice, just like giving of thanks. And Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I lift up this congregation and all who may be listening here, and I just pray that you'd put in each and everybody's heart and mind who so desires, Lord, that you'd put in them a thankful heart, Lord, a heart that chooses this day to receive with thanksgiving that which you have for them. And may you put in the hearts of those who are going to be ministering here today those words and those songs that are going to minister to the needs of the hearts of this congregation, that we all may grow up together in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Celebrate. day, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate the Lord. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate.
You, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you.
This is the day.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Come, let us praise. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your voice, lift up your hearts, for in His love we can rejoice. Lift up your eyes, lift up your voice, lift up your hearts, for in His love we can rejoice. Come, let us praise. Lift up your eyes to the Lord. Come, let us praise. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your voice, lift up your heart, for in His love we can rejoice. Lift up your eyes, lift up your voice, lift up your heart, for in His love we can rejoice. Come, let us praise. Lift up your eyes to the Lord. Come, let us praise. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your voice, lift up your heart, for in His love we can rejoice. Lift up your eyes, lift up your voice, lift up your heart, for in His love we can rejoice.
Thank you, Jesus, for another day. Amen.
Amen.
Oh. Go over to Hebrews chapter 13 this morning. I'm going to start at 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Continue in brotherly love. You have to be there and have that brotherly love to be able to continue in it. The disciples had it. Most of the Jewish people did not. But there were those that heard Jesus' words and started following him. In doing that, they learned what brotherly love was. So as a reminder here to continue in brotherly love and not forget about strangers or those that you run into, those that you meet. Many days I am reminded of different people who have been out here to the ranch, who have come in and been amongst us, who are not here with us right now. Many days those people are brought to mind, and I stop and I pray for them. Because when they're not here, we don't know what they're going through. We don't know what hardships they may be running into or what joys they're having. But there are those who keep coming back every once in a while. And when they come back, we need to remember to show them that brotherly love. So they know that Jesus Christ is there for them also. Remember them that are in bonds. And here it's talking about people who are in prison or people who are enslaved. To me, it also means those who are stuck being bound to the things of this earth. All the wants and desires with all the flashy stuff that you see on TV and what you see around you and what you see people chasing after when they should be chasing after Jesus Christ. Those people who are running around after the things of this world are in bonds. They're in bondage at that point. And them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Let's face it, everybody goes through some form of adversity throughout their life. Even after coming to the Lord, we can still have adversity that tries to come against us and turn us away. That's when you can show brotherly love the most, by supporting each other and help and support those people who every once in a while come back out to the ranch, or every once in a while might give you a phone call, or every once in a while just happen to come to your mind. Because the Lord will bring people to your mind suddenly when you're doing something totally irrelevant. And at that time, show the brotherly love by saying a prayer for that person. That one prayer may help them. That one prayer, they might know that the Lord is with them. That the Lord is there for them if they will turn to Him. Same with ourselves that are here. There are times when we can allow things to get to us that try to push us around, that try to move us away from the Lord. And it's not always easy. But there are times when we have to look at one another and show support, not only through talking with them or praying for them, but praying with them and sometimes correcting them. It's never fun receiving correction. Most of the time, it is no fun to correct one of your brothers or sisters when they're not in the right place. Actually, I've never found it to be fun. I may laugh about it afterwards, but I don't find it to be fun at the time. And let's face it, it can happen to any one of us at any time, at any moment. That one little piece of doubt can float in. And it can try to steal from you the joy of Jesus Christ. Because it's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about Him and what He has done so that each and every one of us can partake in His love and be in the kingdom. Don't let anything steal that from you. And don't let anything try to pull you away. Look for it when you're corrected. Look for where that point was that started pulling you aside so you can learn what that is. For me, I know what it is 90% of the time, and I catch it beforehand. But there are times when, yeah, that just went right out the window. And I'll find myself getting anxious and angry, and I want to lash out. That's not showing love. That's not standing in love. But you have to learn those things. And we learn at those things when we fall into that temptation. As it tells us, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Why would it tell us that? Number one, so you can learn not to fall into it again. So you can be strengthened to be able to stand in the place where Jesus Christ stood when He did all the miraculous things He did, including the most miraculous gift that He did for each and every one of us. And that was for Him to allow man to hang Him on that cross. And for Him to willingly give up His life for me and for you and for everyone who will come to Him and just humble themselves and ask for Him to come into their lives and to show them the truth. Out of those that are here today, most are those who can pray with those people, who can stand with those people, can guide those people and counsel them. And all that are here should be able to do it soon. Because most have been here long enough that the time for them to graduate from being a Christian worker to becoming a minister, to be able to not just give their testimony, but to be able to stand and minister to individuals, or to be right up here behind the podium ministering to everyone who can hear your voice. We don't believe in pew warmers because there's no such thing. They're not in the Bible. Nowhere do you hear of throngs of people just hanging around to hear their word. You do in the Jewish temple. And all those people are under the law. Most are still under that law today and still cannot fulfill that law because it's impossible. The only way that it's fulfilled is through grace, and that grace comes by Jesus Christ. So continue in brotherly love. Continue to learn. Continue to educate yourself in the ways and in the words and in the life of Jesus Christ, so that you can do likewise for the world. Amen.
Praise God. I got to stay in Hebrews 13 for a moment. And then I think we're going to go over to Luke 16. But in Hebrews 13, I want to focus on a couple things. It says, let brotherly love continue. See, and the word let means allow. Let me explain to you the context in which this is. Jesus loves each of us. Why can we not then, if he is in us, love one another? See, it's funny. I mean, the let brotherly love continue, it's allowing that love of God to continue in and through his body to one another. Do you see that concept? See, we don't have it by nature, but he puts it in us. And because he puts it in us, we can allow that love that he puts in us to continue. It's not something that we can do without him. But if we will allow him to, if we will yield to the love that he has for each of us, then we can't help but love one another. You follow that concept? I mean, it's something I just wanted to hit on because it's a different angle from kind of where Bob was talking about. And I want you to see that. And that brotherly love there is to the brethren in Christ Jesus. All right. The strange in verse 2 we're going to hit on in a moment, and that's a different thing. But that let brotherly love continue is we allow. If he loves Charlie, then you know what? I ought to love Charlie with the same love he loves Charlie with. Now look at that and continue on. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. One of the things you read about, and this is, you know, Book of Hebrews, and you look about how Israel was to deal with folks who were not of Israel, if you will. And they were to show them kindness. And like, why? They had been shown kindness. Right? And he wants them to now show kindness. Now, when he's talking about the strangers there and how they've entertained angels unawares, you know who that's talking about? That's talking about, like, the Old Testament prophets or the New Testament apostles. A person comes by, you don't know who they are. They're just an ordinary person. Maybe they're wearing jeans and a T-shirt. Nobody of any note, nobody who anybody looks at and goes, oh, we have, like, Donald Trump, or if you were a Barack Obama fan, Barack Obama. I mean, what difference does it make? When they came into the neighborhood, right, everybody knew who they were, right? Especially if, here they knew. And first of all, there was a whole battery of people around to make sure you treated them properly and did not do them harm. But you look at the Lord, when he came into a place, he didn't come in with any of that. When he sent his apostles and prophets out, they didn't come in with any of that. And yet, see, that inclination on your part to not neglect but to care for the strangers that come in and amongst you. All right? That's how he wants. And then what happens is when he has sent one of his in that you don't know, you know what you'll have done? You will have taken care of them in a manner that's pleasing to him. Remember, he talks about if you give unto one of these the least of my brethren, even like a drink of water, you've given it unto me. And he goes through all those things and the blessing. That's what he's talking about here. Now, verse 3, I wanted to hit this one. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body. See, that was interesting to me. See, he says, in the body. The reason is, I don't know about you. Bob sometimes complains to me about he hurt his back, right? Or Corey will talk to me about how his teeth are bothering him here. Or somebody else will talk about something else that's going on. You know why you can talk about that stuff? Because it's going on in your body. When it's going on in your body, it's pretty hard to miss, isn't it? Pretty hard to miss. It's something that's very much on your mind. Well, that's the same way it's supposed to be when any member of the body of Christ is suffering something. See, when you're about yourself, which is our nature, right? We don't think about such things because it's not what's affecting us. Whatever's going on with us right now is the thing that's on mine. But when you actually take the time and you operate as a member of the body of Christ, you look upon the things that are going on with others. And those things that are going on with others, you take note of, just as it is when it's something going on with your body and want to do your part and whatever it is that that part needs. See, that's the concept here, over here in this, is in Hebrews 13. One other thing I just want to hit on, and then we're going to go over to Luke 16, is when Bob brought up the verse from you know, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. See, the reason why we count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, and that means fall. And just, you know, I mean, Hannah over here hasn't maybe had this verse hit on quite as much, but the word fall, when you fall, Hannah, is it usually comfortable? It usually hurts, doesn't it? And if there are people around, it's usually embarrassing on top of hurting, which then usually makes us even more mad about the thing, right? And here he's telling us to do what? Count it all joy. See, counting something joy doesn't mean it was joyful. But you know why you count it all joy? And he says it in it, because the trying of your faith. All right. What is our faith in? What is it that saves us? Is it our belief that God gave the law to Moses? Is it our belief that Jesus is the Son of God? In part, yes, but not in full. No, it's the gospel. It's the fact that he died for my sins. He died for my sins. When you fall, it means you've fallen into sin. Some temptation, rather than avoiding it and everything, you have fallen into it. And the reason why you count it all joy is because it strengthens your faith in that which saves you. Which is not that necessarily the next time that temptation arises, you're not going to fall into it again. It's that Jesus died for my sins. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that the next time that temptation arises, you shouldn't learn from the previous instance and hopefully not fall into it again. Praise God. I mean, as he says, does, you know, when it says that where sin abound, grace aboundeth more, shall we therefore sin that grace may abound? God forbid. All right. So I'm not saying that we're supposed to go around and ignore these things. But the reason why we count it all joy is because it brings us back to the most fundamental thing of all. And that is that we're saved by the sacrifice Jesus made. And that coming back to the fore in our lives with regularity is extremely valuable. Extremely valuable. I mean, if you're not sinning or recognizing that you're a sinner, it's very easy to get high-minded and prideful. Very easy. Very, very, very easy. And so the fact that when you sin, or have to at least grapple with your sin, you're having to recognize why Jesus had to die for you, and putting your faith back where it belongs, that's a very good thing and something we should count it a joy to do. So now turning to Luke 16. In Luke 16, I want to begin with verse 10. Been thinking somewhat about how do we break these things down in simple things that can help you guys to grow into the place in the body that Christ has for you. And I believe this has a key. This is Jesus. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now think of that for a moment. That's a pretty serious statement, isn't it? He that is faithful, first beginning, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. I remember my dad was a guy who, you know, when he kind of got kicked out of high school more than graduated. He could barely read, even into his about 40 years of age, he could just barely read. My dad. And my dad had become extraordinarily successful as a news photographer in a very competitive climate called Washington, D.C. And he was very successful in it. And he'd have these young college-educated people. My dad had never gone to college. He had all these young people who'd be at, like, the Columbia School for Journalism. They were the, you know, the creme de la creme, the top of the top, the best that there was to be. And they knew it, man. They were going to be awesome. They were like 20, maybe 21. And they just knew they were awesome. They were already awesome. I mean, because after all, to get into that school and to do those things and then to get an internship at the Washington Post meant you were better than everybody else in your class. Everybody else who had that desire. You were the best. I mean, awesome. And so they'd come in and my dad would say something, go get me a cup of coffee. Well, I don't want to do that. Go run this down to the thing to get this film developed. I don't want to do that. My dad used to say, man, if you can't do that, you think anybody's ever going to give you a chance to do something really significant? Now, my dad, that was probably more eloquent than him, and that wasn't very eloquent, don't get me wrong, but more eloquent than him, but he would say these things kind of in rather crude fashions to these young people who were then horrified, many of whom went back, you won't believe what they did to me there at the Washington Post, that Mr. Jim Atherton, he's such a jerk, I can't believe he did those kinds of things, doesn't he know I'm going to be a news photographer? No, I'm a photojournalist, as my dad would say. He used to get so furious listening to people talk about themselves that way. But what happened is you had a few who did what my dad said. And you know what happened when they did? It's funny, years later, some of these people, I mean, decades later, people who were now extraordinarily successful in the field would come to me. It was nobody, but my dad's son, when I was in my 20s. And let me know how thankful they were to my father. And the reason was, my dad didn't know this verse. He couldn't have even read this verse when he was saying those things to people. But the principle that was in this verse, he understood. And what happens is that, look, those people were there to learn and to help those who were doing. When you're there to learn and help those that are doing, then you do whatever it is that's said. And you're looking, you're thankful. You are thankful. I mean, anybody know, like when you're working sometimes, Corey, and stuff like that up there, and you're kind of tired, and you're having to work through like lunch and stuff like that, or maybe because of different things, somebody bringing you a drink after you've run out, pretty nice, isn't it? Helps you, as he said, awesome, helps you to keep going and get through the next thing. Somebody who actually thinks of such things, somebody who might actually stand and cover the sun in a place that you're working so that you're shaded and can see more clearly. These are small things, aren't they? But they can be such awesome things to the person who's doing something. When you're faithful in that which is least, you will be faithful in that which is most. And the way you learn that, like you take children, for example, or you take us out here at Grace Ranch, right? Whose stuff is the stuff out here? Is it my stuff? Do I own anything out here at Grace Ranch? I don't own anything that's of Grace Ranch's. I don't own a single shred of the food that is Grace Ranch's. I don't own any of the buildings that are Grace Ranch's. I don't own any of the vehicles that are Grace Ranch's. I don't own any of the cabins that are Grace Ranch's. I don't own any of it. Not a single one of those things are mine. They're the Lord's. Well, how faithful are we in taking care of somebody else's things, huh? We had an example just the other day, right, where we had a camper that had been left in our care to winterize at the request of a brother or sister when they left. Was it properly winterized? No. Pretty important thing. You can destroy a camper, can't you, if it's not properly winterized? Praise God, we only destroyed this kitchen sink. Cost money to fix that. You know whose money that was that fixed it? The Lord's money. How do you guys feel about that? How about those that were given the task and responsible for it? How do they think about that? Is it a small matter to you? See, my experience is most people just slough things off. Oh, well, we'll have to get another one. Oh, well, yeah, I mean, that's what happens with this. Oh, well, that's not somebody who's faithful in least. That's somebody who, what did it say? Sit over here. In verse 10, you know, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. See, the shrugging it off, that's being unjust. It's not mine. What do I care? Oh, it cost you money? Tough. Oh, we had to spend some of the Lord's money that on something like that. Oh, well. See, that concept of faithful, that's when you want to be. You know, what's it say in that day? It talks about, enter in thou, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. All right. Get away from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. See, the iniquity are those that are pride. They think everything they do is just great. Think everything they do is just great. And they're the ones who always have an excuse for when something happens. That's not faithful. A faithful servant is somebody who goes out and it becomes the absolute most important thing in the world to them to do that which they are given properly in a manner that will be perfectly pleasing under the individual that they're giving it to. In fact, if at all possible, they would like to exceed abundantly that which would be pleasing to that individual. Think of that attitude for a moment. Is that your attitude when you're given something? That you want the person to come and see how well you've done it because you know you've given it your all. My wife and my oldest son are looking at one another right here about this. He gets given things periodically to do. But that's good that that's happening here. Could I not look at each of you? See? Yeah, I take that situation serious with respect to my children. You know, one of the reasons why I take it serious, because I look at you guys a lot of times. And I want my children to grow up the same way. Where it just doesn't seem to matter to you. Doesn't seem to matter. These things are expected. See, being faithful in these things, that's something everyone can do. I don't care if you are the head of the ministry or if you are the kind of lowest person in the ministry, say. I mean, for lack of a better term, I hate to say it that way. Does not matter. Can you not be faithful in that which you're given to do? Can you not take that which is given to you and make it the most important thing and do it heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men? See, if you want to really grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to be faithful. You got to make that a point of your life, that every single day you want to be faithful. And you know it. You'd be doing something and there'd be a situation where, you know, you can go give the focus to this thing that you should give today, or because you're a little tired or because, you know, that you don't really like that person that much, or because of, you know, you just don't feel like doing that right now. Anybody ever just not feel like giving their all right now on a thing? They feel like taking a break. Maybe they feel like they deserve a break. Maybe they feel like just any of a number of, it's like a rainbow of justifications we have. That we have. I wish rainbow is the wrong term because rainbow is beautiful. So I shouldn't use that. Rainbow is beautiful. I don't know, it would be a good example of the opposite of a rainbow. I won't use a certain word because if I were, it might make me sick to think of it. But basically, you know, the Lord talks about how he vomits certain people out of his mouth. Let's just consider that for a moment. Okay, is that ever a pretty thing? And it's composed of many different things, isn't it? Usually, if you actually took time to look at it, which I don't try to do, but if I ever did, yeah, it's like, oh my God, ooh, you know, yeah. But that's more like our excuses, isn't it? That's more like our excuses. An accurate description of it. It's composed of a whole bunch of different parts, all of which stink to high heaven, are putrid to look at, and are disgusting. And yet, to ourselves, we think they're just fine. We think they're just fine. It's amazing. We actually think they have merit. That's why we give them place. And he goes on. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's basically the things of this world, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You know, it's interesting. If you look at the Apostle Paul, he talks periodically about being a steward of the mysteries of Christ. He talks about how a dispensation of the gospel was given to him for you word, referring to the Gentiles. God gave it to him and expected him to keep it pure as it had been given without changing it. I remember years ago, Ricky Utzler may remember this, we were doing blog TV Bible studies back then. This is, I don't know, 10 years ago or more. And we were doing it was in a men's Bible study. And we were in Ephesians 4:11-13. And the issue came up in Ephesians 4:11-13. It talks about, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right, those were 11 and 12, I think. And he said, all right, so there's five positions and there's three jobs. And Brother Richard asked, he said, all right, so who does the perfecting of the saints? And you know what? In that group of people who at that point had heard this word for a good 10 years, people had heard that being preached on multiple times. Ricky Baldwin was there. Rick Utzler was there. We had a bunch of people there. Charlie, you were there, I'm pretty sure. And you know what? Not a one of them got it right. Not a one of those got it right. Think of that. You know, there was only one who got it right that day. And that's the one who's up here speaking to you. But the reason is that, see, I took that word seriously. We used to do revivals. Yeah, I'm now sending out things and people sometimes get upset. I send things out and I suggest, don't command, I suggest that people may want to read something or listen to something. And people get angry. Why is he sending this out to me? Why do I have to do this? Well, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do any of it. I really don't care whether you do it or not. Really doesn't matter to me. It should matter to you. Not because I sent it out. But, I mean, think of what it says about yourself. What do you want? What do you want? Do you want the things of God? I mean, it's funny. I was at that one I sent out recently about the spiritual gifts, understanding spiritual gifts from 1 Corinthians 12. And you know what? I haven't re-listened to it since I sent that out to you guys. But you know what? I re-listened to it years ago. You know, one of the things is when these things went out, before we had them on the internet, before we had these different types of things, one of the things that I used to do is when we had those tapes of stuff, I went through and made a point of listening to the messages we had heard that summer or that period of time again. I frequently went through and sought to create teachings on them and stuff like that, based on those things. Why? Because that was important to me. I remember listening and thinking, wow, this is awesome. This is great. So I didn't want to let it be lost in my life. These things were far too valuable to let them be lost. And I'd watch, you know, people would come and we'd have the tapes in the house and stuff like that. And they were available to anybody. They could be copied. They could do anything. But, you know, it was amazing. I hardly ever remember anybody asking if they could make a copy or if they could listen or what have you. And I share this with you because, see, everybody here, I listen to people and I listen to the way in which people talk. I mean, we have all these things. Yes, we do. But I don't see an evidence all too often on people that how important that is to you. You know, the first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the first commandment. It says all. I don't know about you, but there's this little word called all. And all means every last bit of. So every last bit of your heart, you love him. Every last bit of your strength or will, if you will, in that instance, you love him. You follow what I'm saying? Every last bit, you give everything to those things. If you don't give everything, why do you expect to get? Isn't that what it is to be faithful? Is to give your everything? And then you sit back and complain, why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? Why don't I have this and the other thing? Well, you haven't done the first part. Is he going to commit the true riches to you? It says over here, if you can't take care of that which is another's, why would he? How did it go? It said, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who shall give you that which is your own? So first of all, it's like my children. Why am I going to give them things for that are theirs? They always talk like Legos. You know whose Legos they are? Mine. You would think I just really love Lego. You know what? I never play with Lego, Hannah. But you know why they're mine? It's because I can't trust them to be faithful in that, right? So I accept that responsibility for their sakes as I teach them. Makes them mad sometimes because they think these things are theirs. I get it. The same thing with you guys. You guys think these things are yours. You don't realize. And he says, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. I remember which verse I was looking at before, but this is good, the part about serving two masters. See, that's really what it comes down to. If you're going to serve the Lord, then he's your master, right? Loving him, you're going to give him your all. If you're going to serve yourself or the things of this world, have at it. Don't expect to get the true riches of God. And it was that one about the true riches in verse 11 where it says, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? It's funny, when I came to the Lord, you guys know this story. Many of you, Davey told me this, what Davey told me, Hannah. Think of this. I was a young attorney, had been like one of those people that went to be with my dad. And they would say, go do this or go do that. I'd been an attorney at like one of the top law schools, graduated like at the top of the class, went to get one of the best jobs in New York City, same law firm that Michelle and Barack Obama were working at and stuff like that. I was like, woo, you know, way up there and stuff like that. And when I came to know the Lord, Davey said to me, he said, you know what, Steve, he said, my dog has more spiritual discernment than you. And he said, I put you under everybody. At that time, James, my sister Robin's son, was 7, I think. Or maybe he was 8. He might have turned 8 by then or about ready to turn 8. So I was like Ruth's age. He had me under, as a 28-year-old, he had me under James. He had me under his daughter Cheryl, who was then 6 years old. He had me under every single person in the ministry. Every single person. And you know what was amazing is as I went forward joyously thanking God that it was so easy to serve him because all I had to do was serve these people. And I went forward doing it. I mean, I was joyous. I couldn't wash a dish without thanking God and singing to him. That's how excited I was to wash a dish. When I thought I had gotten all the dishes and I found that there was another because I actually made a diligent search, looking to see whether there might be one hiding somewhere that somebody had like been doing something over by the washing machine and accidentally put it up on the washing machine and may have left something there. And I found it. I was like, yes, hallelujah. I went and picked that thing up. And you know what was amazing about that is even though the people were not faithful, the Lord was faithful to me. I learned from every single person. I learned from James. I remember one specific time after service, James turns around as an 8-year-old and says a word to me. And I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jim Cannon, I remember teaching me about tithing, even though that later became the thing that tripped him up. Teaching me about tithing. People who were unfaithful, God used to teach me faithful things because I was being faithful to him in that which was least. I tell you what, God takes notice of everything. Everything. I was kidding Ricky yesterday. He'd killed some sparrows. I said, that's a way to get God's attention. Then the scriptures say, a sparrow shall not fall without him knowing. I'm thinking, man, I don't know that I'd be shooting sparrows. I don't know that that's the kind of attention I want to be giving God. Truth. That was my thought. I'd be like, ooh, I mean, maybe a grasshopper. He didn't say anything about a grasshopper, did he? But I share it with you from that perspective because, see, if you will learn to be faithful, God will show himself mightily faithful to you. Amen.
Showed them my power. As for my people Israel, I showed them my power. But as for my servant Moses, I showed him my ways. But as for my servant Moses, I showed him my ways. Will you learn my showed him my ways. Will you learn my ways? 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 Will you learn my
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We got some more songs queued up, but we'll conclude here with a prayer. And those who are here and those who are listening online, we can continue to enjoy the music and just worship the Lord together. But Father, right now, I lift up in the name of Jesus, faithfulness. And I pray, Lord, that you'll work in the hearts and minds of each of us who have heard this message this day to consider our own faithfulness in an honest and forthright manner before you. And Father, as we learn in those things of the ways in which we have been unfaithful, Lord, let it not be crushing to us, Lord, but rather may that germ of hope that your Spirit brings take root in each of our hearts that we can become faithful in a manner that will indeed be pleasing to you and that will enable you to entrust us with the true riches that we may be able to go forward and share those riches with all that you give us to do so with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You, Lord, I don't know where I'd be. I want to please you. In everything I do, let it be in your name. Let it be for your glory. Let it be for you. Everything I say, let it be in your name. Let it be to your glory. Let it be for your sake. Cause I want to please you. In everything I do.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Well, praise God. May the Lord bless you, folks. And we'll be back here on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Eastern. And may the Lord be with you.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.